Now, let's explore the unique wildlife of County Mayo through Wild Tracks, our radio adventure in the wilderness with Oliver O'Kyla.
Welcome to Wild Tracks. If you've ever felt a sense of eeriness on a quiet, dark night, along with a strange sense of peace and belonging, you might understand what I'm feeling right now. I'm just emerging from a tunnel at the back of Moor Hall, which is a 17th century mansion by the shores of Loch Cara in County Mayo. And the purpose of this unusual nocturnal adventure this evening is to explore the home and habitat of the lesser horseshoe bat, the modern day residents of Moor Hall. My expert guide on this journey this evening is conservation ranger Maurice MacDonald. Welcome to the show, Maurice, and could you begin by explaining a little bit about the nature of this woodland around us?
Now, the woodland, it is an active forest from a Quilshire point of view. It's managed as a woodland, and the main conifer species here is Norway spruce. But you've also got a lot of hardwoods here. You've got a lot of ash, you've got a lot of oak, which are native. You've holly, which there is some there behind you, which are native. And the beech and sycamore are quite common here as well, but they're not native species. It's a mixed woodland. The conifers provide for some species, like, for instance, you could get the long-eared owl here. One mammal which is here, which is doing very well in both parts, the mixed and the conifer, is the pine marten. Mm-hmm. And they have been here for as long as I've been working here. Now, you may not see them very often because they're a very secret animal. Mm. They will live in the canopy quite often. They will often use an old grey crow's nest or magpie's nest or the Dravus red squirrel as take over that as their nest. They will hunt squirrels as well, and they're in competition with them for food.
And they're like a sort of undercover mammal creeping around.
They're very quiet. I often was told that if you walk as slow as you can in woodland and then walk half as slow again, you might see something. But pine martens, I've only actually seen them here twice, and I've been here a lot of hours over the years, both daytime and nighttime.
And why the particular interest in bats and lesser horseshoes in particular?
Well, the interest in lesser horseshoe grew from the fact that there were the main species that were here, and because they're an annex species under the Habitat Directive, we're obliged to protect them. The National Parks and Wildlife Service is obliged to protect them.
And over the years, have you kind of grown to like the animals as well?
You do. I mean, I have no problem handling bats and never have. You do. I mean, they're warm-blooded mammals, which some people can't understand. They're like humans, indeed. And they suckle their young. And they can live in Ireland up to 15 and plus years. And indeed, bats worldwide can live up to 30 years.
Very good. Now tell us a little bit about our mission here tonight. Are we going to see lesser horseshoes?
Okay, we'll be leaving the main house and the cellars, and we'll be going to the coach house. And the purpose of that is, as it gets darker, we will just sit quietly and wait for the lesser horseshoe to come out. Now there may be some other species along with them, like long-eared, but they're mainly lesser horseshoe. And they will come out through the opening, which is at the rear of the building, and we will count them as they come out. And as I said earlier, because it's a nursery site, we do not enter during the summer because it causes too much disturbance. So that's why we do the count externally.
And can you tell the young apart from the adults when they're flying?
It's pretty difficult in the dark. And I say the echolocation would be the same from both. In the roost, you could, all right, because the size difference. Mm-hmm. And when they're very, very small, they hang onto the mother's back and they carry them around with them.
Do they really?
Yes, indeed.
Wow, amazing. Amazing. God, they've an amazing natural history, don't they? Well, I can't wait for it to get dark now, and hopefully we'll see some very soon.
Looking forward to it.
Let's go. And at what stage, after how many weeks, do the young actually come out and hunt for themselves with the adult?
About 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that may depend on availability of food and everything else. As I said, we've had such a wet period of weather, that may drag it out a bit longer.
And generally speaking, are they predator-free at these nurseries? They're tucked away out of sight and out of harm's way?
Horseshoe tend to roost in the apex of a building like this, and they roost in clusters. Now, because of the height of the location, there's very little could get into them. Fine martens might go into the building, and if there was some on the ground, for instance, that was injured, then they might be able to get that.
You can hear the clicks as Morris records the bats, and he's pretty sharp anyway, because pretty soon after you hear the peak in the intensity of the sound as a click from his right hand, so he doesn't miss much.
There's another one that has come back but gone away again, and there again repeated again, come back and gone away again.
Amazing that they can fly out of the forest in larger open spaces and go through such a tight little entrance into the house again.
Yes, well, they, as I said, they will follow for, and we have indeed the research with the radio tracking has proved that they will stick to the, as in the case of the lake, they stick to the lake shore, and as we said earlier, they travelled up to 7 kilometres. Which has taken them along the lake right down to Ballintubber Abbey. So they've gone from Moorhall to Ballintubber Abbey, a distance of about 7.2 kilometres. And they would feed for the night there and come back again.
It must be very good feeding, because even, you know, flying is an expensive... no more than it is for us, flying is an expensive pastime.
They would, I'm sure evolution has given them the ability to assess the area, and if it's not... I mean, they may find the food source one night, but if it's sufficient to come back, they will return again, and indeed a number of nights, to that food source. And it could be a forest, it could be just the lakeland edge, or it could be another woodland nearby.
You notice now it's noticeably that bit darker and gloomier now. It's getting harder to see into the building. The building is very much black beyond the bars. There are quite a few animals coming back now, and scooting over and back, maybe a sort of 5-10 meter distance between where we're sitting and the window itself, looking to get access back in perhaps. Just listen to that, a lot of activity here over our heads, lots of bats flying around.
Yes indeed, there will come a time when they will start to go back in, and when it gets to a stage where quite a lot of them are going back in and the numbers coming out have literally gone to a trickle, then the survey will be concluded for the night.
At the end of the night, when they finish their foraging and they're heading back in for the daytime to rest and recuperate from the night's foraging, is there anything special that they do before they finish the night and head to bed?
Some species we have, some research work we've carried out, for instance, we have In buildings where there was no pipa still loose, they would swarm in groups at dawn just before they went in. It's like they'd have an aerial ballet, maybe up to hundreds of them. And then they would fly around in a group, and then gradually they start to go into the roost in small numbers.
That's incredible. That must be an amazing sight.
I've seen that a number of times. It's amazing to watch it.
Oh, it's an amazing, fantastic experience to just sit here and watch it all go on until you can't see anything anymore.
Well, it's getting pretty near that now. But what we normally do is we wait until the, as you can see, they're really starting to come back now around the entrance, and they'll start to go in numbers. So we'll soon leave them to their own devices for the night.
Well, I'm glad you brought a head torch, because I don't think there's much way I'd find my way back to the car without it. That's been an absolutely incredible, fascinating and very rewarding evening here, looking for and listening for bats in the woods of Moorhall. And I'd really like to thank you, Morris, for a really wonderful evening and for telling us a little bit more about a really incredible species that's living here on our own doorstep in a way in Mayo. Thank you for taking the time to come along this wild walk with us. Thanks again, Morris.
You're very welcome. Thank you.